The Gospel according to Mark, the 4th chapter. When evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord. This gospel story that we get this morning is a little gem from Scripture, brief but well written. It is easy to picture in our minds. This little story about Jesus climbing into a boat with his disciples. They set out across the sea only to be surprised by a storm, and as the disciples struggle against the oars, failing to make any headway. And by the way, if you remember any of my stories about sailing, I kind of know what that is like, to be at the mercy of the sea and to not be able to figure out how to get your stupid boat going. At the climax, Jesus intervenes, and the storm is calmed, and the disciples are left with the question, who is this? Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And this is the question that in one way or another, all of the New Testament seeks to answer. We have four Gospels because here are four Gospel writers, each in their own way, trying to tell us, trying to decipher just who this is. But the story doesn't answer that question, which I think is a good thing. Because as someone who used to draw political cartoons, I can tell you that the cartoons that I used to find the most boring and the most stagnant were the ones that told you exactly what they were trying to say. The ones that said, had a little label saying, government greed, pork barrel spending, liberal Democrats, and everything's pointed out, you know exactly what it is they're trying to say. The great cartoonists understood that the power was in what wasn't said. The power was in simply presenting an image that invited you to come into it and to discover the truth for yourself, to discover what the cartoonist was trying to say, because you get that sense of, and that sense of ownership. Indeed, it seems that Jesus very seldom wants to tell anyone exactly who he is. He always seems to be waiting like some therapist for the disciples to figure it out for themselves, to come to their own aha moment. And like a good therapist, he gives no easy answers. The disciples are left struggling with this question. As time goes on, they'll get a few answers. They'll get a few insights into who this Jesus is. When they come to the crucifixion, they will figure out that this Jesus is heartbreakingly mortal. When they come to Easter Sunday, they will discover that this Jesus is divine. They will discover that this Jesus is the Messiah, not when Peter boldly proclaims, "You are the Messiah, the Son of God," and then turns right around and is scandalized at the thought that Jesus might actually die, but rather after the resurrection, when Jesus comes to this group of broken and despairing disciples and opens up the scriptures to them and says, "See, of course it had to be this way. This is who I am." But this story happens before any of this. The disciples are at sea with Jesus in the back of the boat, and the storm has come up, and the boat is taking on water. And right now, they know only two things. The first is that Jesus is asleep. "Do you not care that we are perishing?" It's a cry that is at once desperate and heartbreakingly human. "Do you not care that we are asleep? Do you not care that we are perishing? Wake up!" For all of our vaunted knowledge and our evolution, for all our opposable thumbs and everything else that we have accomplished, we are still such fragile beings. Paul refers to us as fragile clay pots. The smallest microbe can take us down. One little tiny thing going wrong in our DNA. And for all of our technology, for all of our use of tools, we still can't with any confidence predict what the weather's going to be like tomorrow. I rode my motorcycle in for worship last night, and that was an act of faith. The disciples begin this journey thinking, looks like a pretty nice day. But out in the middle of the sea, suddenly the weather turns. The water's coming in. The wind threatens to turn them over. And God, don't you care that we are perishing? This sleepiness of God, I think, is one of the great scandals of our faith. We pray to God. We worship God. And yet, where can we point to God? Where is the voice that comes to us out of the thunder and speaks to us? And yet, I suppose if we're going to be honest, we have to admit that we aren't terribly wakeful ourselves. We have a tendency to move through life as if we were sleepwalking. Only truly rousing when some calamity comes our way, with the death of a loved one, with an illness, with some sort of crisis in our life, and all of a sudden we jerk awake and wave our fist at God. "Do you not care?" Before we mumble off back to sleep again. But the disciples know one other thing, and that is that Jesus is there in the boat with them. that the same waves that are crashing over the boat is soaking him too. The same wind that keeps them from getting where it is they want to go is keeping him away too. That for better or for worse, this Jesus is riding over the waves with them. And this is the wonder and the startling thing about our faith. If you look at any of the creeds that are supposed to be a summary of what we believe, look at the Apostolic Creed or the Nicene Creed or the Athanasian Creed or any of the other creeds, what you'll find is you'll find this little section at the beginning that talks about God the Father. You'll find this little section at the end that talks about God the Holy Spirit. And then you'll find this great big honking part in the middle that talks about Jesus and that tries to describe the wonder of a God who becomes one of us. A God who, like in that Garden of Eden, we have found once again walking in the cool of the evening beside us and sitting in the storm-tossed boat there with us. And sometimes he seems infuriatingly sleepy. Sometimes we can't understand why God won't leap to attention and do the things we want God to do. How can God not want to cure someone? How can God not want to see us happy and prosperous in our lives? We don't always understand how this world works. Who was it? It was Niebuhr who wrote that oft-quoted prayer, "Lord, give me the power to change the things that can be changed. Give me the serenity to accept the things that can't and the wisdom to know the difference." And sometimes it seems like there's so many things we can't change. And that can instill in us a certain sense of desperation. But this Jesus is there with us. And the answer to that question that hangs on the disciples' lips, who is this one? Is that this is the one who calms the storm. This is the one who makes the wind cease. Like Job, we wave our fist at the whirlwind, demanding answers from God. And sometimes all we get is, "Yeah, you wouldn't understand. Where were you when the world was set up? Huh? If I told you, it would blow your mind." But this is, I think, the heart of our faith. Our faith is not that we know how this world works, and we know how God works. And if we formulate our faith in just the right kind of sentences, God will be bent to our will. Our faith is rather that we keep rowing in that storm-tossed boat. We keep going through this sea we call life, often unsure, sometimes frightened, but always knowing that Christ is here with us. And in that is the heart of the Easter proclamation, in which those angels at the graveside say, "He isn't here, he's risen. And he has gone on ahead of you." Here is the heart of the ascension story, when Jesus promises to be with his disciples to the end of the age. The wonder is not that we have a wonder-working God who, at a pull of a lever, does what we want. The wonder is that we have a God who rides the waves with us, and that who will ultimately bring us to that other side, safe and sound, together with all of those who have gone before us, all of those who will come after us, all of those who have dared to trust that this is indeed the one who stills the seas. Amen.